thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. My name is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which can be found at realadultingiseasy.com. I'm joined today by my little sister, Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a high schooler, and my sister here is going to help me understand how to basically be an adult better and prepare me for my future a little bit.
Yes, which I feel is my duty and responsibility because I was 13 when you were born. So our goal for today is to make adulting easier for Jenny by explaining a personal finance topic to her, because managing money is a big part of adulting. So today I'm going to tell Jenny 10 things I wish I could tell my 16-year-old self. So I wrote myself a letter and posted it as a blog, and I figured I might as well tell you all this, Jenny, because you are, in fact, 16.
All right, let's get going.
All right, here we go. So number one, the people around you with the nice stuff probably aren't as rich as you think. So when I was growing up, I had this friend, Jenny, who got some really great Christmas presents. And so, for example, one year she got an Xbox and a PlayStation, right? Uh-huh. And she got a cell phone before I did and all of that stuff. And it's not like we didn't get anything for Christmas. We had really great Christmases. It's just that theirs seemed so above and beyond. And I couldn't help but, as a kid, be like jealous of that and think, oh my gosh, these people must have so much money. Come to find out now, those parents don't really have enough money to retire even, you know? And when that girl turned 16, of course, she got like a brand new car. And, you know, it was a while later that I found out that the parents, you know, they didn't pay for that car up front. You know, they financed it and everything. So that's just been a really eye-opening thing for me, looking back, thinking, wow, these people have a lot of money, you know? And then there was another example of a kid who lived a few blocks away from us. And do you know what a go-ped is?
No. Okay. Is that like beyond my time?
It was probably before your time. This is back when people used to go outside and things.
Wow. Okay, boomer.
But they were like in, it was basically like a scooter, right? Like almost like a Razor scooter, except like a little bigger, but it was motorized.
Oh, okay.
And these were really cool in the neighborhood when we were kids. And they were expensive and obviously dangerous and stuff like that too. But this kid had one of those when it first came out, and just kind of everything new and nice. Well, a few years later, like, his dad's business went under because of like some quote unquote creative accounting practices. And the guy even went to jail, you know?
Wait, creative practice? What does that even mean? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, yeah, he did some illegal things and went to jail, and it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden, you know, when the money wasn't coming in, all of that stuff stopped. Like, they didn't have that much money to fall back on.
And they were just really in debt.
Yeah, and they had to move. So do you know anybody like that? Is there anybody where you look around and you think, oh my God, they have such a nice house, or they have such nice cars, and wow, they must have a lot of money?
Yeah, all the time. Our next door neighbor, for a while, Ashley there, like, I went to her birthday parties and stuff, and she would just get a ton of stuff. I'm not sure if she was just super spoiled, or, like, there was some background, like, problem going on that I just wasn't aware of.
They have money because they inherited a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you never really know. There could be examples like that everywhere where people do get tons of stuff, but they don't have a lot of money. And this probably shouldn't spoil your kids either way. So the point is, for number one here, just know that there's a difference between material belongings, right, and actually having wealth, right? There's a difference between making money and having money. So number two, this is a good one, I think. Mom and dad are not cheap. They're prudent.
Okay.
And we are too, right? And they're teaching us really good habits. So how often do we get on dad's case and call him cheap, would you say?
Like every conversation we've ever had about him, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, he used to wear, like, around the house such, like, ratty clothes. And mom would always shop at the thrift store, and I used to hate getting clothes from the thrift store. You're a lot better about that than I was. My friends, like, they always seem to be getting these new, like, shorts and pants and shirts and stuff from American Eagle. And did dad ever do that thing with you where he'd pay you a dollar not to get a drink when you went out so that you would just get water?
Similar things like that. Like, he has paid me so that I wouldn't get something if I went out.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's kind of, it's easy to make fun of them. Like, guys, come on. Like, we have the money. We can get a soda when we go out, right? But the point is that these were habits that they were building and an attitude that they had, which really, it really set them up well to be where they are today. All these little habits. And when you put all of them together, it can lead to wealth later. So number three, this is, I think, a good one. And this is an attitude that a lot of people, young people have. Oh, I'm just going to make money later, right? I'm going to make more money later. I can spend what I'm making now while I'm young. But your money now is so valuable. So I worked at Chick-fil-A when I was your age. And one day I did the math and I was making 10 cents a minute.
Right. $10
$6 an hour.
And, are you serious?
Yes, yes.
What?
Minimum wage was lower then. So I was making 10 cents per minute, you know, and that seems like so little. It's like, why should I care about this money? Why should I save it? It's just so little anyways, right? But even if I would have put like $50 away here or there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I invested in like the stock market, it could be like $1,000, a couple thousand dollars now, and certainly later when I'm in retirement.
Right.
So something for you to think about with your money from your job. It does add up. So put a little bit away. Number four, you can start a Roth IRA as soon as you make taxable income. So we talked about Roth IRAs, Jenny, on podcast number two. You probably remember. When I was young, I babysat you and a lot of your friends. And I also worked at Chick-fil-A. So in that case, the only real taxable income would have been the Chick-fil-A earnings, right?
Right.
But between all of that, I was able to scrape together. I think I had like $2,000 in my account. And what I did was put it into something that's called a CD, a certificate of deposit. And I have that definition here from our friends at Investopedia, which is a product offered by banks and credit unions that offers an interest rate premium in exchange for the customer agreeing to leave a lump sum deposit untouched for a predetermined period of time. So basically, I put $2,000 in there for 6 months or a year or something like that, and I made $60, right?
Right.
In hindsight, I should have taken some of that money and put it into that Roth IRA, which is a retirement account, because the tax rate, it was so low because I wasn't making a whole lot of money. And, you know, what was I using that money for? You know, I didn't have bills or anything really.
Right, exactly.
So I think I should have put some of that into a Roth IRA. So where do you keep your money that you're making from your job?
I know that I have something similar to a CD where, like, there's a high percent rate.
Yes.
Like, interest rate that, like, adds to my money. But I can't really touch it either. Like, I can't, like, take it out or anything, you know. It's only like deposit only or whatever. Or
right.
Else you have to like pay a fee. But
yeah, it's probably a high yield savings account from an online bank, which is good. The interest rate that I was getting back then is probably what those high yield savings accounts give now. And you're getting 2%. Maybe in a CD you could get 2.5%. It's not a big difference. Right. You could consider putting some money in a Roth IRA.
I can do that at my age.
You can, as long as you have taxable income, which you have now.
Nice.
So, and Dad would get a kick out of that. All right, so number five, credit cards are only a bad thing if you don't pay them off every month. So everywhere it turns, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, it seems people are talking about credit cards are bad, right? That's not true. It's credit card debt that's bad. That's what's true. So when I was your age, Jen, I had a debit card. I did not have a credit card. Looking back, what I've learned since is that I should have had a credit card then and got maybe mom or dad to co-sign on it, right? Which is what they've done with you.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that right? You have a credit card that they pay or whatever.
Yeah, I recall.
So that was something that, you know, if I could tell my 16-year-old self, hey, you know, credit cards aren't all bad.
Yeah. With me, I pay, like, my own stuff. Like, if I want to get clothes or something, or like something for myself, then I pay with my debit card.
Right.
But if it's like food or something,
food or gas,
I put on the credit card. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You could have one maybe for your stuff too. All right. I mean.
Yeah, I could.
And then you're just building credit all that time. Because we talked about it on podcast number 5, our last podcast, right? There's reasons to use a credit card versus a debit card, like building credit and fraud protection, things like that. So number 6, you do not have to work for every dollar that you have. Your money can work for you. So it wasn't until I made that $60 from that CD that I realized that money could work for you, but it still didn't seem like very much at the time. I still figured I would be working, trading my time for money for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was 16, it wasn't unusual for me to take a $100, $200 paycheck to the mall and just buy clothes, right? That's what my friends were doing. That's what I thought was cool. It didn't seem like it was very much money or that it ever really would or could be. And I really should have invested at least some of that money. Eventually, I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I may assign this one to you soon. And it says in there that your dollars are your employees. And then when you earn it, when they earn interest, that's more dollars. And they're your employees too, right? Okay. So you need your money to work for you. And it's a great way to think about it. Yeah, any reaction to that one?
That's pretty straightforward. It makes sense.
Yep. So number 7, there's a difference between money and net worth. So one time when I was a kid, I asked Dad how much money he had. You know, because when you're a kid, you ask weird crap like that. That's not socially acceptable to ask. And he said $50. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because I'm like, that's how much money he had in his wallet. Probably like $50. And he said, that's how much money he had. Right? I guess at the time, he didn't think I was ready to have this conversation about what is net worth. Right? Which is the value of everything you own less what you owe on it. Right?
So assets and liabilities.
Right. It's the value of your assets minus your liabilities. Right. That's what your net worth is. Right? So there's a difference between cash, right, and net worth. And that's why this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the people that you're looking around that seem to be very wealthy. They could just have a lot of money coming in, but all of it could be going out. Right? They may not be investing it in their Roth IRA, 401k, in homes. They may owe tons of money on their cars. They could finance their Christmas presents. I mean, it could be anything like that.
Right. So that's what you meant by like how they have money, but they're not making it.
Right.
Like your neighbors.
Yeah, like the money's coming in, but their net worth is not increasing over time, which it really needs to, you know, to be able to retire and things like that. Because once the money stopped coming in, you need money and net worth to live off of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a book. Remember, I assigned this book to you. Did you read it last summer?
Which one?
Millionaire Next Door?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, mom and dad probably have more net worth than people around them in bigger homes with nicer cars because they've done a really good job living within their means, investing their money, and paying off their debt over time, right? On their house, on the rental house, on their cars. And they're very like the millionaires next door from that book in that way.
Cool.
Number 8. This is a good one. And this is almost just like sisterly life advice for you. Surround yourself with people who understand your relationship with money and are not bad influences.
That sounds really deep.
It's so deep. So you become like the people you're around, right? You become like the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with or something like that is what people say. You should choose friends that have values and align with your values. And I think that applies to money as well. So I was always a saver, but I didn't really surround myself when I was your age or in college with people who were also savers. All the money they made, all the gift money they received, it all got spent. So rather than getting feelings of validation from people around me, I kind of was always wondering why I was so different from them and why am I saving my money?
Right. I remember you saying that when you got your paycheck, you just wanted to spend it because it was cool.
Yeah.
Which I don't really get that. Like, yeah. How is that cool?
Well, you're much more of a saver than I am. And you've embraced like the thrift store life and everything. And you're not, I guess you're not quite as, I don't know, corruptible as I was with my friends.
Wow. Thanks for calling me out.
No, I'm saying
on my thrifting.
It's a good thing. So number 9, then, it's great to save money for a rainy day. However, it's also good to treat yourself from time to time. So that whole treat yourself new phenomenon bouncing around the internet, it's a good thing. I think, obviously you shouldn't treat yourself every day.
Right.
But in my case, as we mentioned, I was a saver much like you are. And when I was in college, a group of people went on a cruise. And I think it would have costed me like $500 to go. And I had, you know, at that point, I had a job in college and I, you know, had money and I probably should have gone. But to me, I was like, no, I save. I need to save. I need to save. So that's a piece of advice I would have given my younger self. It's okay to, you know, spend money on experiences.
Right.
Are you saving for anything in particular?
No, I don't have any like foreseen like obstacles so far, but I think it's good that I'm saving just for like some unexpected event or something right. like that.
And it doesn't even have to be an obstacle, like a negative yeah. thing. It could just be an opportunity to do something fun.
Yeah. Like I still go to the mall and like sometimes I just binge like buy everything, but I think I am pretty good with my money. Like, you know, I take intervals, you know, where yeah. I do spend and then I don't spend. So
yeah, that's good. You're definitely pretty good with money. Well, my advice to my 16-year-old self and you is it's a, like if an opportunity comes up to have an experience, even if it seems expensive, it'll be worth it.
Right.
All right. And number 10 on the list of 10 things I wish I could tell my younger self is that money is morally neutral. And this is something that I learned from a book as well. And that book is called Your Money or Your Life. So money is neither good nor bad. It's not power. It's simply a tool that is morally neutral that you can use in your life. So money can be used for good things. It can be used for bad things. You know, and learning this now can really shape your relationship with money and how you think about it, feel about it, and approach it.
Right. I could see how it could be corruptible, you know?
Yeah, it seems corrupting. Like, yes, it seems like, you know, money is power or people can use it bad, but you can use it for good things. And it's just a tool, whatever you want. I mean, it's a tool to buy food. It's a tool to buy clothes. It's a tool to retire. You know, it's a tool to financial independence, right? And that's what money is.
Yeah. I really like that title of the book, Your Money or Your Life, you mm-hmm. know, because I guess your money could kind of make you blind to like the experiences around you and stuff
right.
like that.
And not only that, that book talks a lot about how say you work 40 hours and say you make $500, right? You traded your time for that money.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend all of that money, then you have to go trade more time for more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can save some of that money, you can save yourself time later
yeah.
by not having to work for every dollar.
I could see how it could become an obsession, like working for more money. And
yes.
then people just get caught up in
work and spend and work and spend and work and spend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've prepared today. Now you know the 10 things I wish I knew about money when I was your age of 16. Did you learn something today?
Well, I learned that I think I have surrounded myself with good people. Like, I look back on it, like, I'm reflecting on it, and, like, I think I'm around a lot of intelligent people who, like, are good with their money, and I was never aware that people, like, literally peer pressured you to, like, spend your money, so that's interesting to me, so.
Yeah, good. So you can find everyone the Adulting is Easy blog, 10 Things About Money I Wish I Could Tell My Younger Self, posted on Thanksgiving 2019 on our website, realadultingiseasy.com.
You can also follow us at Twitter at Adulting is Easy, or you can follow us at Facebook at the exact same title. You can also email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com.
You can show support for us at patreon.com/adultingiseasy. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Hopefully, we've made adulting a little easier for you.